Well, good morning. It's 9:17 a.m. on February 9th, a Saturday morning. Yeah, what a week. So the service was in Maine on Tuesday evening. Apparently it went all right. I haven't heard any horror stories. My other younger sister, sent me a link, but apparently that link was for something unrelated. In fact, her email had been hacked and somebody was sending out spam links. So, yeah, that wasn't helpful. I talked to her yesterday. Everything was fine. As fine as it can be. Things are slowly getting back to something resembling normal. 18 minutes for the first mile. Given that I haven't walked in nearly a week, that's probably pretty good. The flu that my younger daughter got has been kind of a problem. For a couple of days, she was so sick, I really did not feel comfortable leaving her alone in the house, even for the 40 minutes or so it would take me to walk around the block. She was that sick. Not that I was able to do much for her, but in case something went wrong, I would at least be there and not halfway around the block and not knowing that there was something wrong. So yeah, I didn't walk. And then of course I got the bug. Now I didn't have it to the same degree she did. I did lay down, take a nap a couple of days. I didn't get a lot of work done. Today is the first day I got up and didn't feel like I was going to throw up since like Wednesday. So that's a good sign. I think what I did was traded longevity for seriousness. And the kids were out of school yesterday, so I had much less running around that I needed to do. Of course, being Saturday, we've got everybody home today, and lots of interruptions, lots of noise, lots of stuff happening in the house. But I do feel better. It still kind of strikes me every once in a while that she's gone. But I'm also getting these flashes of a burden laid down. I guess having her be terminal for 2 years took a bigger toll on me than I really appreciated at the time. And you always wonder, you know, was there something, should I have to, you play that game and drive yourself crazy? Because the answer is no. And even if yes, there's nothing you can do about it now, so no. But I'm beginning to feel like I can go back to work now. There's this sort of sense of like I've been sitting staring dumbly into space for a half hour and I realize that, oh, I should be doing something. Gosh, look at all this fun stuff that I should be doing. Why aren't I doing it? Whereas before, mostly what it was felt like was, I don't want to wake up because it's just too much crap I don't want to deal with. And the truth is that most of it was because my sister was dying. I think there's a certain logic to that. But we did have a good visit, and thank you, those people. My cousin Paul, I think, sent me a picture of her high school graduation. It's one of the foldered ones that you got back in the day for family, and he sent one off. And he had one that he had gotten from my uncle. It was addressed to the family. And it shows her in the typical high school yearbook graduation photo pose, wearing a very stylish sweater with her hair done, and smiling a smile that I remember. I remember now that I've seen it. And she wrote inside, and I could actually read the handwriting in the photograph that Paul sent. He just snapped a picture of the whole folder. And it's pretty astonishing that, because I never knew what she writes in that stuff, so I never saw it before. But a lot of what she said in the high school graduation, this is what I hope for my future, she lived. She did it. She did what she wanted to do as best she could. And she did a really good job of it. So, my goodness, what a noisy truck. So in the grand scheme of things, she really had a course set when she graduated from high school. And she sailed it. She ran into some shoals, there were some storms now and again. But generally, the course she chose was the one she sailed. And that's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good. I can't say the same thing for me, although, in truth, I've traveled a course that I never could have imagined, and that's one of the good parts of what I've managed to do, is that if I had set my course in high school, I probably would have done it. But in doing that, I would not have done all the rest. And it's all the rest that makes the difference for me. So if one of these cars hits me and kills me, I'm laying here on the tarmac thinking, not bad, not bad at all. Better luck next time. And on we go. So, yeah. A lot of deep thoughts for Saturday morning. A lot of deep thoughts for first walk after a long hiatus. Apologize for the delay, but, you know, I'm still feeling a little bit nauseous right now. It's tricky. I'll sit, as long as I sit still and don't move, I'm pretty good. But as soon as I start moving around, I start getting a little, oh dear, am I going to throw up feeling. And yesterday I just couldn't walk across the room without that happening. But today I got, a mile and a half before it started. So I'm doing better. I get to go home and have my breakfast. I haven't had my toast yet. I'm very much looking forward to a nice bit of homemade bread with some peanut butter on it. Fresh cup of coffee. And I think my big earphones to kind of block out some of the background noise that lots of, oh my goodness, there's snow in New England. Look at, this is where we used to live. Look at this, there's snow. It's like, yeah, okay, fine. Not interested, really. I think it's summed up in where we used to live. It's not where we live now. And not likely that we're ever going to live there again. As much as I would like to get back to Portland, I don't think that's ever going to happen. Monkpole. I don't think I can afford it. The cost of living is very high there. Well, I suppose, find a small place somewhere that has good internet connection and I can work anywhere. So we take it one day at a time and see. But yeah, I'm not really interested in the snow. It's quite shocking, 34 inches, big deal. Big deal for them. It's 32 degrees on a beautiful sunny day with barking dogs. And while I could do without the barking dogs, the sunny day and 32 degrees is nice compared to 12 and cloudy, which is what we've been having. Almost feels like spring is in the air already, although that's silly because it's only third past February. Barely a quarter past February. There's still winter left to go, even here on the Front Range. There's not as much winter left to go here as there is in Maine, I'll give you that. It'll be April or May before they're able to dig a hole for Laurie. But probably do it here now. I don't think the ground is all that frozen, to be honest. Feels good to be walking. I'm not trying to push it today. It was 18 minutes for the first mile. It'll probably be 19 for the second. I don't care. I just need to get out and get walking again, get back into shape. These long breaks are not helping me. They're not good for my stress levels. They're not good for my muscular system. I need to be walking regularly. That's one of the things I've got to work on. I got to do a lot of things more regularly. And we're going to see what we can do about that. It's not to say I'm going to abandon my binge style of writing. Not in the least. But I'm looking at things like, I don't have Zephyr's Call in audio yet. And if I get it done by the end of April, it will be eligible for a Parsec Award this year. Which means I'll only have missed submitting 1 year in the last six, something like that. I know Quarter Share was submitted, so was Full Share. I think it was the year South Coast and Full Share were both up that I screwed the pooch by putting them both forward. Unfortunate. But it also gave me five finalists in only 4 years in the novel category, which is arguably one of the more difficult ones to do. Particularly year after year, because it means you have to write and then podcast a novel at least once every year. And there have been a couple of years, like last year, not last year, the year before, when Ravenwood and Owner's Share were both eligible. And I only put Owner's Share forward. Probably should have put Ravenwood forward. It was actually a better story, but I thought the shares deserved the shot. Ishmael Wong for the win. I've been thinking a lot about Ishmael Wong and how we're going to go forward with those stories. There's some really interesting ideas that are in the back of my head that I'm not really pushing hard on. I'm just sort of letting them sit back there and stew a little bit. And some challenging notions about money, and yeah, somebody's said chips here. We're gonna do chips, or if we're gonna do actual coinage. The problem with coinage is that it's, in theory, easily counterfeitable. But I think I have some ideas for that. And it brings up an interesting question. Is there a larger legitimate reason for having anonymous transactions? Is there a point to not having the data that you in particular bought a particular good or service? Is there a social benefit to not having that data collected, not having that data stored? The reason I'm asking that is that I'm reading this book, and I inadvertently bought it. I thought I was getting the sample, but I bought it instead. And rather than return the $4 book, I just kept it. Or $7 book. M.T. Anderson's Feed, F-E-E-D, Feed, M.T. Anderson. A really dreadful book. It's a really good first-person kind of storytelling idea thing. Maybe it's close third. And the language is really consistent, and it's all really crap, because you know, whenever this takes place, we're on the moon, and we go there for spring break, and people are trained to use their online linkages, their feeds from an early age. It's how they connect to everyone, and it's so endemic and so part of what everyone's life is that when the main character's feed is interrupted for a few days, he begins to get a little off. But then it's restored and everything goes back to normal and everything is fine again. And it's a fascinating story, but it's the feed knows what he's looking at, and so because it knows what he's looked at, it knows what to suggest to him and tells him what he likes. He doesn't tell it what it likes. It tells him what he likes, and he believes it because the feed tells you what you like, because that's what the feed does. And of course, it's a commentary on the internet and the plugged-in lifestyle and the whole social media thing, and the whole, you know, it's like the whole bit. It's got me asking the question: Is there a social benefit to having an anonymous transaction? I don't know. The problem, of course, is that if you detect data, the potential exists to keep it. And once it's kept, then cross-filing it, sorting it, saving it, using it for purposes for which it was not intended is entirely possible, even almost likely. And so what needs to happen is that there has to be some mechanism for enacting anonymous transaction. That's what cash does. It makes transactions anonymous. It's also why they've done away with large denomination bills, so that it's harder for drug dealers to pay off. They have to carry around wheelbarrows full of money to pay off. That's a bit obvious at times. So I don't really think it's done much except make the transactions smaller so they fall below the radar. Same with all the banking laws. They just push the transactions down into smaller denominations so they don't carry any flags, but some interesting ideas that are floating around in the back of my brain. What I have to have at the front of my brain is Greedock the Splithead, because that's due at the end of this month and I'm not getting any closer on it. So with that note, let me note as well that I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck, I'll talk to you then.